All right. So I guess we'll go ahead and get started tonight. We are going to be in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. And so tonight, before we start, we really need to look at walking in faith. We're in this journey of stewardship and service. And so last week, we talked about the gifts that God's given us and how we can be stewards of these gifts. And this week, it's going to be the gift of faith that he's given us. And then we're going to look at how we can be good stewards of this faith. You know, in Bible study, we talked about how that faith really led to the healing. It was a beautiful thing. Your faith has made you well. And so these are some of these topics that these individuals were going through was 12 years of bleeding. But yet, she just, only if I can touch the hem of your robe, that faith. And so we'll start tonight. Let's start in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, Lord, just thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the people here, Father. Tonight, just we have people that are in emergency rooms, and we have people that are not feeling well, and we have people that are going through things, Father. Just be with them, Father. Father, touch their hearts and open their hearts, and just know that if they're just still, be still and listen, Father, to the Holy Spirit. You'll be there. You'll be guiding and directing them, Father. We just ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So when we look at exploring the essence of walking in faith, we have to look at this from the framework of that stewardship and service. So as followers of Christ, which I think we all are, we're called not only to believe, right? We're called to act upon that belief. See, just believing, in essence, is some ways not enough. You know, we know that repent and believe is one of the things, but we have to act upon this belief. And that's the whole point of walking in Christ, is that Christ walked this walk, right? He role modeled for what he did. He went, he saw, he done, he taught, he had action behind his belief. And he was truly man, or truly God and truly man. So we have to look at this intangible ways of serving God and serving others with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. So that's putting God first in all facets of our life, in these three different realms. So let's begin as we reflect on these words. And like I said, we're going to be in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. And I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So we think about this. We see people, you know, in bigger cities that are homeless or sleeping outside the road, and especially in winter, and you see that they're freezing. You're like, I'll just pray for you. Stay warm, stay fed. Or can you be those people that are bringing the blankets, bringing the clothing, bringing the food, bringing the warmth, or getting them out from the elements, right? And so there's action behind this. And so James is talking about this and saying, if there's no action behind it, then it's dead. Especially if someone could be freezing, right? And they're freezing and they're in the middle of winter and you have the fully capable of giving them blankets and clothing, but you tell them, just stay warm, right? So we have to look at the words that we communicate at times. But James here, he's underscoring this crucial aspect of our faith journey, that the inseparable connection between faith and action. We have to remember this, that it's not enough to just merely profess our faith, but we have to demonstrate it through our actions. That's where the stewardship and the service intersects with faith. And that's what I love about this ministry, because we are intersecting here, right? We are reaching people, we're talking to people, we're relationally growing with people, and we're offering opportunities for people to come in here and see this service mentality, this action mentality. But stewardship, in the essence of this, is about recognizing the everything and in between, right? So we have our time, our talents, and our resources. These are gifts from God. And so those gifts that we're getting from God, it should be our responsibility to pay it forward and to use them wisely for His glory. So if we do something, like last night was beautiful. It brought Emily to tears, because 4 years ago I counseled a lady that was struggling. Was this all her one time? But that one time and that 1 hour was all she needed. And so she came up here, and she was part of this worship team, and she shared her heart about, we were there at the right time when she was needing it most, right? And then she's like, you know, she gave some gratitude and praise to my wife as she walked into that room, and she said that once I walked into that room with that beautiful woman, I knew I felt safe, that her kindness was just that of an angel, that she knew she was safe and protected in this room. And if she wasn't there with me in the counseling, and I do that for accountability and safety for both parties, but if she wasn't there, then this lady would have never been able to receive services. And so the gifts sometimes is just you being there. And so we have to look at these things, because we can sit here and say that we have gifts. I gave you a spiritual gifts assessment, and it's important to know which we don't put all our eggs into this assessment, but it could be a good tool to kind of steer you the right direction, right? So you see these gifts that come up. You have three gifts. Look at the Bible. Go into prayer. Study and to see how these gifts can be applied in your life. Some of these gifts might be something that you already know, or some of these gifts that are not fully developed yet or you're unaware of, right? And so these gifts grow through time. You know, most people in this room have known me for a while, and some have known me way longer, but I would have never imagined that the gifts that God instilled in me would lead me to here today talking about what I'm talking about. I never thought this, because I was so inconsistent. I was so on fire and then so cold, so on fire and so cold. And I never thought that I was ever going to get this. The Bible, to understanding the stories in the Bible, to understand who God truly is. And then with time and with the use of the gifts that God's given me, things become clearer, not for my glory, but for His glory. So we look at His glory, and then we take this service as an outward expression of our faith, right? This service is an outwardly expression of our faith, that we can selflessly give to others and to meet the needs of others. And that's what I love about here, is ever since we've been going strong, it feels good, doesn't it? This is a God thing. You know, this is a total God thing, because people come in here and they say, what's happening here is special. And the only thing that's happening here is that we're trying to do church and do a ministry the way God's designed it. Love people. Break bread together. Be there for when people want to cry on your shoulders. Love people when they're not doing stuff exactly right, but be there for them, right? We can't turn away the broken. We can't turn away the lost. We can't turn away the hopeless. But as a church, we need to invite them in so we can share the gospel. And one of the things I was looking at this is, as you look around and we think about a church, and how many times does a conversation of their own personal sin be a topic? It's usually their other people's sins that's a topic, not their own. But here, we collectively know each other so well that we know where people are struggling in their lives, right? We know when people are hurting. We know when people are falling short. We know this here because we intimately and relationally share our gifts with one another, and we know people because we're a gospel-driven church. Does that make sense? And so when we have that gospel-driven, Christ-centered church, then yes, we're going to sit at the table of tax assessors or tax collectors. Not assessors, I'm sorry, Emily. we're going to sit at the table with prostitutes, thieves, criminals, murderers. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to use these gifts and be good stewards of these gifts and utilize that as a moment to reflect our faith to the world because of what Jesus has done. So our stewardship begins with acknowledging that God is the ultimate owner of everything. God owns your kids. God owns my kids. God owns my salary. God owns this church. God owns it all. And everything that's been instilled to us, that's where we break down and drop to our knees and say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a daddy, allowing me to be a mommy, allowing me to be a pastor, to be a friend. So once we acknowledge that everything in this world is God's already, he has it on a lease basis for us, that one day that we're going to return back to him and we're going to leave the gift that he blessed with us, hopefully with a foundation that will continue seeking who he is, and then that individual will be returned to him as well. We don't want the opposite. We don't want to be a parent and have a child, and we grow up and we go on, and that child goes a wayward path, and their time comes, and they spend eternity away from us in hell. Right? So we cannot allow our own pride to get in the way. And so we have to humble ourselves and realize that the stewardship begins with acknowledging that God is the complete owner of everything that we have in our lives. And that means that we have to faithfully manage the resources entrusted to us. Time, finances, abilities. Here in this ministry, I had a conversation last night with a lady. I said, we're blessed because this ministry does cost money to run, but it's by no means expensive to what other businesses cost to run, right? And as I know we're not a business, but I'm just saying that there's financial output. But we're blessed because on the average, of what it costs us per month, give or take, is anywhere from $300 to $50 to $600 a month to run a ministry that feeds the community, that offers events, that is open almost every day of the week doing something. That is God, y'all. This has been a ministry that's been set up in favor of God that will not go bankrupt. I love this because this is not our doing. This is God's doing. And this is a self-sustaining ministry because of who he is. It's just really profound when I get humbled when I think about this. So if we honor God in everything we do and we live our lives daily honoring God, our lives change. Not overnight, but progressively they change. Our speaker last night, the reason why I invited him was because he always smiles. And I was either like, I was thinking that's the joy that Jesus has given him. And he shared that last night. He says, look, I used to be the most negative and grumpy individual. But then a man said something to him, and he said, that day forever changed. I quit leaning on me, and I was leaning on God. And then he said that the gifts he's been given is to go to glorify him. So even if these things don't line up to thinking that those should look the way we want them to look, guess what he's still going to do? Smile on his face because God's good and he has breath in his lungs. I love that. So this service and this service as an act of faith should be an outpouring, a natural outpouring of a faith-filled heart. This involves this sacrificially meeting the needs of others just as Christ sacrificially gave himself to us. Think about this. We were just talking about Easter's coming up and that the events that led up to the cross. It was horrific, wasn't it? It's like we can't even imagine it. And we were talking about the Passion of the Christ because it really showed it in such a graphic way that I can't watch it without crying. to know that God himself came down here with skin on to go to the cross on our behalf. That we live a life daily that doesn't even reflect a stewardship of the gifts that he's given us. And the most important one is his son, that salvation. So this should lead us to this natural outpouring of faith, and it should fill our hearts, and that we should always point back to Christ. Through service, this is what I love, is I love working with addicts. And I always tell them that they got to get back into serving. They got to get outside of themselves, get outside of their situation, get outside of their early recovery, and get involved in doing something that's not for their own benefit, but to serve others. Because once we find that service to others, it really demonstrates that we love our neighbor. That we love our neighbor and we're fulfilling the great commandment. Love God with all your whole heart, soul, mind, strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And so sometimes we see this to where we're walking, and we get so caught up, there's more self-love than outward love. We get so caught up in our image and our desires and our wants and our trials and tribulations that we forget to focus on the neighbor. And sometimes that neighbor is what will pull you out of that selfishness of thinking, right? And so last night I thought it was neat because the guy that spoke was a police officer. And we work with a lot of people with addictions and mental health. So naturally, they tend to go against one another, right? But it was so beautiful because he said, look, there's men out there that are doing things at night when we sleep. And they're seeing things that when we sleep, that's horrific. They're getting shot at, their families are getting threatened, and they're doing it for the greater good to keep peace. But it's also neat to see that he was saying, I struggle with anxiety, I struggle with depression because of the things I've seen. We can't understand what he's seen. He's a first responder. But then we think about when you have a law enforcement officer and then they might arrest the addict and then they develop a friendship, right? Because that moment of him arresting him was actually that saving grace that God put in his life. And that might set him on a path of redemption and restoration. And so I said last night, I was like, what would this look like if we had a trauma-based group of addicts that experienced this, and then the police officer sitting there with them saying, I'm right with you. My trauma and your trauma are similar in so many ways. It's a beautiful concept. It's a beautiful thing that we're not versus one another, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So we want all parties to be involved in this ministry. We want to have the drug addict, the prostitute, the pimp, and we want to have the police officer, the doctor, and the nurse. Because we need to build this body up. It's like if someone walks in and they're struggling, they need food, shelter, clothing, medical, we should be able to provide it. But walking in faith requires courage. It's scary at times. And this courage also, it requires this obedience that is, might seem that you're being obedient, and some people might see it as, what are you doing? But that obedience may not make sense, but you're doing it because of the gift you've been given. You're not doing these works and you're not walking in faith to gain this grander form of salvation. You're doing this because you're intimately in love with your Savior, Jesus Christ. It's just to see him here and to be here in our people, in our community, in brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. And anytime one of them are hurting, we should mourn with them. And if one of them have advancements in their life and they're being blessed beyond measure, we should rejoice. We should be right there rejoicing. And maybe they'll take us to sushi, right? You know. But courage, obedience, but you have to trust. If you say that you have trust issues, you're going to have a really hard time trusting the Lord because he requires wholehearted, authentic trust. And when we can't trust, we can't see the full picture. There's always our vision and our views of things that hinder the bigger, grander scale. So sometimes we have to give this immaculate trust that we're like, look, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to trust you right now with everything that I have. Because we know that the Bible says he's never going to leave or forsake us. He's going to guide our feet. He's the light to our life. But maybe he didn't give us something we asked for. Is that why you don't trust him? Or maybe he took something from you. How dare you? Is that why you don't trust him? But we have to surrender our will to God's will. His planning, his timing is impeccable. It's without sin. So we have to look and we have to surrender this to God's will, allowing him to lead our life in a major way, to guide our feet, to guide our steps, every aspect of our lives, not just the ones that we want to give him. I'm just going to give you this part of my life, Lord. I trust you with that, but this I know, sir, you're not going to watch over my kids. I can only do that. See, walking in faith compels us to live a countercultural life, meaning that this kingdom has greater values than the worldly pursuits, right? And so the kingdom of God is going to look so diverse. It's not going to look just like this room right now. It's going to be so much more diverse. And so when we reach out, we have to reach out to the nations all abroad, right? And that's why I loved our guest craft lady yesterday. She's from Honduras. I went researching how can we help Honduras. It has the most cocaine drug traffic coming through. Most of the towns are drug lord related, gang controlled. There's over, I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, 200,000 pending murders that are not even being processed in Honduras. Think about this. And we're sitting in a good old Ackerman, Mississippi, complaining because Bumper's French fries were too cold. I'm guilty, right? Guilty. So it's a, we have to look at these kingdom perspectives that, look, we are so blessed beyond blessed. If you have a closet full of clothes, you're rich. If you're driving a car that you make a payment on, you're rich. If you have a thermostat in your house, you're rich. Because you could be living in cardboard boxes piled upon piles in foreign third developed countries or whatever you want to call it. Foreign countries, third world countries. So we have to pursue this kingdom values of worldly pursuits. So as I conclude today, Caden's fading on me. I'm gonna get one of those super soakers. You remember those back in the 90s? Those son of a guns would have some range, right? But I'm going to fill it with holy water. So as we conclude, we really reflect on our lives. It's like, I'm not standing up here preaching to you. This is stuff that God has worked on my heart this past week. Everything that I stand up here and do is a reflection of my heart and where I need to change and where I need to surrender. But my prayer is that you all can leave here tonight walking in faith within the understanding and the realms of the stewardship that we're given. The gifts that we're given, the mercy we're given, the grace, all the blessings that we look around us. But this essence of what we're doing, it requires that commitment, sacrifice, and perseverance. It's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy just to want to give up. But I'm telling you, on the other side of that feeling is something God is going to do that's going to blow you away that you never imagined. We just have to get to that other point and trust God that he is leading your life in the direction it needs to go. Just surrender to him. But we have to understand that the rewards outweigh the challenges. The rewards that God's going to have for us here through the ministry, through the service, and in eternity outweighs what we're going through right now, especially the challenges. So when we walk in faith, we experience the joy of seeking God at work in us and through us. That's a beautiful thing. That's weird. That's a, not that. Not what I just said was weird. That feedback was weird. So when we walk in faith, we experience the joy of seeing God work in us and through us. What a blessing that is. That he's transforming lives and bringing glory to his name through us, through our service, through our stewardship. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, Lord, just thank you so much for the privilege of walking in faith, Father, the stewarding of your gifts and the serving of your people, Father. You strengthen us to live a life that reflects your love and your grace, and that your faith may be evident in all that we do, Father. Empower us, Father. Fill us with the Holy Spirit to guide us. Help us listen to the still voice, Father. Forgive us of our sins and our trespasses. Forgive us when we don't trust you, Father. Forgive us when we try to hold on to control the things that we think we control, but we can't, Father. Father, we surrender these things to you because if we don't, it's going to lead down a dark path, Father. Help us as a ministry to grow as a Christ-centered ministry, to know people relationally and intimately in a way of knowing their lives, knowing their struggles, knowing their successes, Father. That we genuinely care for one another in here, Father, and we genuinely care for our community, Father. That we can be a beacon of light in the midst of sorrow and pain for one person, Father. Father, we're so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the mercy and the grace and what he's done on the cross, Father. In his mighty name we pray. Amen.